Welcome to the build-up on balls.ie in association with Ladbrokes. Please bet responsibly. Visit dunlewy.net for further information.
Hello and welcome to the Build Up Podcast here on balls.ie. My name is Donny Mahoney. I am your presenter for the week and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by the one and the only Sean Meehan. Sean, welcome to the pod.
Donny, how many times are we going to change the duo that presents this podcast? I wonder.
Well, a Sinn Féin tide has sort of swept the nation in terms of Irish democracy.
We've got fever. We've got Sinn Féin fever.
Yeah, and there's a new green wave, a youthful wave has swept this podcast, and it's a new spirit. It's a new kind of approach. It's a new slant on sport, and that's what we're here to do. As I guess the other presenters, Mick and Mark and PJ, they've all been swept aside.
Exactly. We're the Gonzo duo. Exactly. We're about to We're the beatnik crew. We're out here and we're about to do our thing our way.
We're riffing. We're jiving. We're disrupting the old media sort of duopoly. We've sort of kicked them out. Mark and Mick, see you later. Don't know what happened to you. People don't want to hear from you anymore.
We don't care what happened to you, quite frankly.
The old ways are gone. The new ways are here. The people have spoken. They want change. And we're the voices of change. We're the agents of change.
And we're about to bring it to you.
We got a great podcast in store for you this week on what is a kind of a quiet sports weekend. We're going to be speaking to the great Kevin Doyle ahead of this weekend's kind of rested Premier League action.
The pseudo spring break.
That's it, yeah. The guys, some of the teams are, you know, they're doing keg stands and they're listening to Snoop Dogg concerts down by the beach. It's spring break. That's what you do at spring break.
That's what you do, exactly.
Some lads have to play. So we'll be looking ahead to the Premier League action with Kevin. Also talking about his old mate, Shane Long, as Shane Long looks to secure a new contract with Southampton. We're also going to be guessing the handicaps as we do every week. It'll be me against PJ, kind of rekindling.
The rematch. Yeah, the rematch.
The grudge match. It's basically going to be Ali Frazier 2.
I must sort of state that there will be no refereeing discrepancies like there was last week when Mark Farrelly didn't know the rules, like there was at the weekend when David Clifford got unfairly sent off for Kerry. I'm going to be striking down with an iron fist. I know the rules. I know what's going to happen. And I know that there's going to be one winner coming out at the end.
Well, it sounds threatening, but I'm looking forward
to it. That's the way I do it, Donny.
I like a bit of strong-willed, very masculine refereeing that.
Listen, I'm an authoritarian when it comes to the pitch.
Well, that's what the game needs, and that's what you're going to give. So tune in down the line for a big guest, the handicaps, and Sean will be bringing us a big, big shout, and we'll be getting hyped as we do every week. And we've got something to get extremely hyped for this weekend.
I'm so delighted. It's these past 2 weeks, Donny, have had my two passions just sort of roll into each other. Last week we were getting hyped for a general election.
Yeah.
And this week, we're getting hype for the new League of Ireland season.
The greatest league in the world is back this weekend, Friday and Saturday, with some big fixtures. And Sean, this is maybe your greatest life passion.
This is my bread and butter right here.
So Sean is going to be telling us why the League of Ireland is going to be even better than ever this year. And also what sort of teams you might be looking to bet on if you are of a gambling sort. And of course, if you're doing some gambling this year, always check in with dunlewy.net for any kind of gambling information. Sean, will we get stuck in with Kevin Doyle and find out what he has got to say?
Let's have a go at him.
Delighted to be joined on the line now by former Ireland international Kevin Doyle. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, lad. And yourselves?
Not bad at all. Kevin, interesting quotes. We're now about maybe 6 weeks away from Ireland's huge game against Slovakia. Mick McCarthy was doing the media rounds on Monday here in Dublin, and he had some interesting quotes on his sort of mentality heading into the game as coach and who he'll be selecting. He said, "It's a game for hard-nosed pros." amongst the sort of younger fans, I know there's been a clamoring for the likes of Troy Parrott, Adam Ida, Jason Malumphy to feature in this game. How did these quotes surprise you? And is that an approach? Is Mick's approach something that you would sort of sign on with?
Yeah, I suppose he's right. You know, massive games, massive pressure. You want that to have been there, sort of done it, and are used to that, those situations. And it wouldn't surprise me, Mick, anyway. It's his outlook mostly on football. He gives young players their chance at the right time, but when it comes to big games like this, he'll stick with, I'd imagine, and this is what he's saying, he'll stick with the tried and tested. As much as you'd like to see young lads, enthusiasm and no fear, and just, you know, confidence, just go out and play. It's a brave man to make that decision. I don't think there's any manager in the world going to a big game like that who would think it's the right time to blood players who haven't really played.
And it's, I mean, Mick knows essentially it's his last game. Well, if they lose, like he's not coaching for a job, so there's no reason to sort of for he just needs a result here as Ireland.
Yeah, he's not thinking past the summer. He knows that, like, he's not thinking future and what is best for Ireland is making this Euro. So we need short term, we need finances, we need to make the Euro. So what's best for him is best for Ireland, and it marries together at the end of the day. So, fine by me. He's experienced. He's a manager who's seen it all. He's been in this situation. He's been in playoffs. So, you know, you can't argue. In fairness, you cannot argue what Mick says on what needs to be done to win these games or to have a chance to win these games. I think it'll be very, very difficult. I think we're good enough, but we haven't put together two away performances in a row, and I don't know how long. So to see it happen now is a difficult one to envisage.
Like, he did make a sort of a tactical play when we were playing away in Switzerland. He did start Aaron Connolly. He's not afraid to make those decisions.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but Aaron was, he just scored in the Premier League and he played a couple of games for Brighton. So, you know, it wasn't totally out of the blue. We were probably, I can't remember the exact situation, but we probably had an injury or two. We were needing to start him, but I think if everyone is fit, you know, Aaron hasn't set the world alight, I suppose, since in the Premier League, so he will go through what he's used to, what he's trusted, what's got him to this stage in the group. It's difficult to see and otherwise, but 6 weeks as well, like, you know, 6 weeks before that Switzerland game, I don't think Aaron Connolly was playing for Brighton, had scored after that. So the next 6 weeks, you don't know what's going to happen, what player to come on the scene and play well for a few games, and you know what, if it's high up and it's in the Premier League, for example, you know, he'd be very tempted then to put him in. But it's, right now it's hard to see that.
Probably the most consistent Irish footballer in the Premier League this season has been Shane Long, and this fixture seems like in Bratislava in March seems like it'll be crying out for what Long can do for Ireland. He's the rumours out of Southampton is that he's going to have his contract extended, and he's really had a brilliant season as the year has gone on. You obviously go way back with Shane. It must be like just the longevity in his career and how, you know, he's so vital to still for Southampton. It must be kind of good to see, you know.
Yeah, he showed fantastic, I suppose, word is thrown about, but mental strength there. He's been out of the squad, out of the team, not involved, looked like he was not going to have any part to play at stages in the last year, and he's come back, he's coming back. And he's always got that pace, you know, that even if he's not playing well, if he's touching, like, he's got goals, he's always got, he's a fit guy. He would always, you know, he'll not moan and grumble, and he'll always be trying his best to improve his situation, improve the team's situation. And I couldn't believe he wasn't in the Ireland squad. Whether or not playing for last year or two, couldn't believe Mick didn't have him in that Ireland squad, because his pace alone is way ahead of what we have. His experience, he'd have, I think, if he'd have been in any of the last few squads, he'd have had more goals than the rest of the team combined. And he's a one, he was a Premier League striker who was playing, and in the last squad he was playing as well, and Mick was always saying how he wasn't playing. Well, he was playing around the time of the last squad as well. He was playing for Tottenham. Alright, he wasn't playing goals, he still probably was scoring a heap of goals, but, you know, who is for Ireland up front? David McGoldrick isn't either, but Shane has scored big goals for Ireland over the years. Couldn't believe there wasn't more of an issue made of him not being in that squad, a Premier League, proven Premier League player over the years. You know, it was sort of brushed over in the end, and I was on RT for one or two of the games, and I was trying to bring it up, and it was like no one wanted to talk about it. So I'm delighted Mick is speaking about him. Seems to be mentioning that he might be coming back into the squad, because I massive games, and okay, if he doesn't start, I think he should start, by the way, if he doesn't start, I would hate to be centre half. Like, all, if you ever hear Premier League centre half, something like Chain Long, I hate playing against him. He's a nightmare. He stretches teams, he creates. Now, he mightn't score himself, but he creates opportunities for players because he makes defenders nervous. He makes it back, they know the cap or something. Kind of high line because he stays on top. You know, any of the sound strikers that have, you know, played with them, I'm sure appreciate what he does for them. He takes a lot of pressure off other players and lets other lads. You know, Danny Ings is having a fantastic season, goal scoring wise. He's, you know, one of the top scorers in the Premier League. And I can honestly assure you a lot of that is to do with Shane. Most of his goals have come while he's playing with Shane. Shane isn't getting them, but the reason he's in that team and the reason Southampton are looking to offer him a new contract is because of what he does. And this is not all about scoring goals. There's 11 players on the pitch. If he's helping another person score goals while he's doing an important role, he might be down on the team sheet as a centre forward, whatever it might be. But listen, it's what he's doing all over the pitch that gets him in the team.
Yeah, it's a pity. I don't think the Irish fans, I mean, or maybe even football fans, really appreciate just Shane Long's sort of abilities and gifts. You know, like everything you were saying there, the work he puts in, his work rate, his professionalism. Like, I know, you know, he doesn't bang them in like Robbie would have back in the day, but like he does so much for the team and he sets up so much. I don't know. I think he's the kind of, you're right to say that, like, it really, when he was left out of those Ireland teams, you know, it was, should have been quite a big deal because there wasn't really any accounting for why that was when we have very few options up front. Like this guy, he's been playing for Ireland since what, 2006 or seven. And, you know, he's one of our best, he's one of our only strikers, playing Premier League action. So we need him for this game, I think.
We definitely need him. Listen, Mick, I don't know if Mick probably won't start him, but he should be definitely in the squad. And, you know, depending on the results of the game, he could start, depending on what we need. I would play him ahead of David McGoldrick, but it depends on the way Mick's style of play. David is very good, and he has been very good all group, but the way he's holding the ball up and bringing the team up the pitch and bringing other people to play. And it's a different strength to what Shane has. You know, David McGoldrick's touch might be better, his hold-up play would be better, but then he doesn't have the same pace Shane has, doesn't have that offer. So it depends on the game and what's needed. Do teams hold high lines? Are they pushing off? Are they putting us under pressure? And you need that outball of Shane. You know, Shane makes, I suppose, it suits Ireland because a lot of time, let's be honest, we would be booting the ball out of fence, and Shane can turn that boot ball out of fence into a goal scoring opportunity. His most famous goal for Ireland was basically that, you know, just a long boot goalkeeper kick out, and he was through on goal against Germany and scored a fantastic goal. So, listen, it's ours for courses. He might be the right option to start one of these games, but he should definitely be in the squad, and he should have always been in the squad. His form has dipped over recent years. He hasn't been as good as maybe he was 4 or 5 years ago in the Premier League. But he's still as quick as ever, and he's the type of player, if he gets a run and gets a couple of goals, he goes on a streak and he'll score a lot more goals. So he seems to be in great form at the moment, and he's a good guy around the place as well. So that's another reason I couldn't resist him. He's attitude, he's training, other players like him. He doesn't go around moaning and moping. So I think to me it's a no-brainer. He should be in there, but.
Yeah, I think that obviously the clamber for the likes of Troy Parrott, it might subside a little bit now because, you know, he's not, obviously he got his new contract at Spurs, but he's not going to be playing. To touch on Spurs for a little bit, their former manager, Mauricio Pochettino, has come out in the press this week and he's talking about how he wants to manage again in the Premier League, issued a seldom seen managerial come get me plea. Usually it's players asking clubs to come get them, but now it's Pochettino. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I can't believe he has to do that. He got Tottenham Hotspur final last year, like, with a limited squad, a squad who he hadn't signed players basically in 2 years or spent a whole lot of money in that time. A team saving money to move into a new stadium. Basically, he worked wonders there. He improved every player. I can't believe he has not already been lined up for the Man United job. He is just, you know, I don't know behind the scenes. Maybe they know more than they would do. They'd be doing the research. But he would, in my mind, as a Man United fan, be the perfect man for that job. The style of play, his enthusiasm, he speaks sense when he's been interviewed. He just, you know, he's another Klopp in my mind. He's a seems like a genuine nice guy who plays good football and gets the best out of the players that he has. He doesn't have to spend gazillions to win things, you know. So I think he's a fantastic manager, and he shouldn't. I'm surprised he had to come out and, you know, I'm surprised he's still on the market. I can't believe a team hasn't got him on some sort of pre-contract or lined up for when the next needed manager, because he, you know, he's as good as anyone in the Premier League with what he spent and what he did, the style of football. You know, from the outside, unless there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about, he looks a perfect choice for any of the top teams.
Yeah, obviously United are playing on Monday away to Chelsea in a rematch of the first game of the season. Like, that's one match that if Solskjaer doesn't win that, or if Chelsea extend the gap between them and United, like, I mean, everybody is looking towards Solskjaer as being the sort of next to get the boot, and it's been almost like that all season. But there is a genuine replacement there in Pochettino. That would make so much sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty straightforward. No compensation. Like, that's a very simple thing to do. And it seems like Ole Gunnar, as nicely as he's going from week to week, it seems like every week it's the same thing. He needs to win this week, he needs to win next week. It's week to week at the moment, his results. He gets one win every two or three games where it sort of gives him another week or two. But yeah, I just don't see that being a long-term thing. He doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence, as much as I like him and he's a Manchester United legend and he conducts himself very well there, but he doesn't inspire me as a manager. And I just don't see it lasting. I think they should bite the bullet and do it sooner rather than later, and give, if it is not Pochettino, give him a chance to get his feet under the table between now and the end of the season and really see what he needs in the summer and go again and reboot for next season.
Kevin, there was some pretty atrocious weather that hit the Premier League last week and the Championship and all across England, and some I think bad stuff coming again this weekend with Storm Dennis due to make landfall. I was just wondering, do you have any fond memories of sort of atrocious February days when there's hailstorms kind of beating down on you and you're just trying to sort of make it to the hot shower after the game?
Yeah, plenty matches, training sessions. Oh God! You team clearing snow off the pitch so we could go out and have a fight at them. I played a game actually in America in Houston, and I don't joke when I say there was about half a foot of water. You had to wear wellies to go out on the pitch an hour and a half before the game. I was like, "Well, why are we here? We're going home. There's no way we're playing this game." And they said, "Wait till you see. They've got this amazing drainage system." And the game was delayed 2 hours. We kicked off at 11:45 at night in Houston. And played the game, and the pitch was bone dry. I wore molded boots, didn't have to wear studs. Played the game, and I have pictures on my phone now. I show people that just to show them what it was like. It was a massive thunderstorm before, and lightning and all that everywhere. And, but in America, if it any time before 12 o'clock at night in the MLS, if the game can kick off before 12 o'clock, it goes ahead. So we kicked off just before 12 and played the game into half 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when we finished. So, and a pretty surreal experience, but I think we got beat as well. I can't actually remember the score, but yeah, that was my worst. That was my most unreal experience. Anyway, literally, like, honestly, not joking when I say a foot of water. It was scary to see. Like, the whole place was just massively underwater. But yeah, they didn't seem to bother them, and they had a drain really quick. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I can't remember getting too many snowed off or anything like that over the years, but. Yeah, lots of training sessions, lots of things I don't miss. Standing at the door to train and at the change room at the change round till the very last possible second that I would get fined to run out and get training and straight in as quick as possible, wrapped up to the nine in every sort of waterproof, water jacket, glove, hat. I wasn't afraid to wrap myself up, I didn't care about being called up. Or the sissy or whatever. I was well wrapped up, I wasn't getting cold.
Kev, do you have a tip for us this week?
I will go for Chelsea to beat Man United.
5-6 for Chelsea to beat United. Yeah, that's not a bad show.
Yeah, it's the type of game United probably will win, and it'll keep the Wolves away from the door for a few weeks for Solskjaer, but I just don't think they're consistent enough. I think Chelsea need to win more as well. You know, United can still catch Chelsea for top four, but I think it's unrealistic. Chelsea are right in there in fourth position. And I like Frank Lampard. He's a very good manager. He's gone about his first season very well. where he seems sort of mature as a manager beyond his years, and I think they can go there and get a result.
That 4-0 on the first day of the season seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I know. It all looked pretty then, didn't it, for Man United? You think, yeah, they had a great pre-season with their team, have a good pre-season. That was what they blamed the season before. It looked great after the first game, but it seems a long time ago, right?
Great stuff. Well, Kev, thanks very much for your time, and we'll chat to you next week.
No worries. Thanks, lad. Cheers.
Kevin Doyle there. Sounds pretty rainy down in Houston, doesn't it?
Yeah, geez, I would have thought it would have been tropical.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have had an indoor stadium, but I guess not.
Yeah. He was very impassioned there about his own mucker. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I really think we don't appreciate Shane Long in any kind of way.
I think now we've kind of evolved, hopefully. I think Irish football fans have evolved to not just expect their strikers to score. Obviously, like, do people love Niall Quinn? Like, they probably do, like, in terms of what he did for Ireland. Like, Niall Quinn wasn't really a goal scorer. Took him about 15 years to break Frank Stapleton's record, and then I think it was broken in about 2 months after by Robbie Keane because he was a natural goal scorer.
Yeah.
And, like, Long is just one of them run into the channels and really, really put pressure under a defence. Like, Dave McGoldrick doesn't score goals. He kind of manifests himself in a different way.
Yeah.
And people see, like, I haven't seen many people clamber for, you know, his replacement. So I like to think that we're changing. Shane Long has been a great servant for Ireland for, you know, 13 years or whenever he made his debut. I'd like to think that we've evolved. Or at least, like now it's coming to the stage now, we have a distinct appreciation for players who are doing well in the Premier League because they're so few and far between now. And I think that's kind of happened, that now that Shane Long is playing week in, week out for Southampton and having tangible effects on them, that there'd be a clamber to get him back in the squad. But he probably should have always been in the squad. I don't think, what does Scott Hogan give you that Shane Long doesn't?
I know.
That's kind of, and Scott Hogan's back scoring goals now, so I shouldn't be saying anything.
I know, yeah. But it should have, it kind of passed without incident. Kevin was sort of made a good point there that we all kind of just were like, okay, well, I guess we'll just get on fine without Shane Long. And, you know, he definitely has had his dips in form, as Kevin was saying. So it's not like it's all been rosy over the last two or three seasons with Shane. But it should have been a bigger deal just because we have no strikers. There's nobody.
Yeah,
For all the time that we spend sort of giving out about, you know, Mick not playing 18 and 19-year-olds, like, this guy, we have, like, kind of our most trusted and consistent player ish up front, not even in the squad. So hopefully that'll all be remedied in Slovakia. And, like, I don't, you know, it's an interesting question. Like, what do you do? McGoldrick has just been the kind of the linchpin of our attack for
absolutely
the whole campaign. So the problem is that
I think you do play McGoldrick, but what do you do to play around them? Because goals are an issue. And I think you don't drop them. But you have to play somebody up top with them. And then that goes into a whole change of formation thing. And then it goes, who do you bring into the centre of the park? Do you play wing backs? Who do you play at the back? There's all these questions. And like we were saying, like, Mick, you know, as manager, it's his job to win, obviously. And he's not going to be like, could be my last match, I don't care. Like, he wants to stay in the job until the end of the Euros. Like, he's not going to be there like, be pretty laid back and like, if we lose, we lose. Like, he's not going to be like that. You know, this is Mick McCarthy we're talking about.
Yep.
He'll do everything in his powers to win, you know. I think this safety blanket of the playoffs kind of didn't really help us towards the end of the campaign, because we were kind of like, chances are we're going to have two matches, a straight shootout.
Yeah. It's Ireland's, we have to go through the playoffs. That's just how we do it. We don't know any other way. So
as soon as the playoffs were introduced, I think it was the worst thing that could have possibly happened for Irish football. We could have been finished top of the group all the time if we didn't have this safety blanket.
Yeah. And final thing for me on Long is that, like, I presume when he gets called up, it's just going to be like, I'm delighted to be here. Like, say with James McCarthy, who maybe has shown sort of a reluctance to come back, and I think would be a great addition. You know, you'd want to see him starting as well against Slovakia. But, like, I just think Long, being the pro that he is, will just be sort of like, look, happy to see you guys all again, lads, and given everything.
Yeah, that's what, Kevin was talking about, how he was just a great person to be around the camp as well, which I think will benefit people. And obviously, if like, I'm looking forward to seeing what attackers are chosen.
Yeah.
You know, because there is, as we were saying, like obviously Hogan is scoring goals again. Whether James Collins drops out or not, does Michael Obafemi, obviously he's been playing sort of the third or second striker role alongside Shane Long as mm-hmm. well. They've been kind of dovetailing between being Danny Ings' strike partner. Like, does he come in? I'm looking forward to it, but there is a sense of trepidation there. But I definitely think Long is almost a shoe-in now.
Sure. Great man for a sing-song as well.
Yeah, Jesus, he is indeed. Yeah. Good voice on him. Yeah. Good pipes. Kevin's pick, actually, it piqued my interest of Chelsea at 5-6. I think it's time, Donny,
go on,
to do our big show.
All right, hold it. Just hold it, Alan.
Push him out.
Steady, David, don't. Get round. No, don't. Platy.
It's time for the big show.
Mm.
It's my turn now for the big show. I'm about to see if I have what it takes.
Many have trialed, most have failed. So be brave.
I can taste the sports biography.
Yeah.
I can taste the sports biography.
What kind of cake are you hoping for?
Like, I'll take two Madeiras. I'll take as plain as it can be.
Lots of marzipan?
Lots of too much marzipan, some might say. But I'm here for the glory. I'm not here for cakes or biographies. I'm here to showcase that I'm a champ.
Bit of cash as well.
If I do decide to partake in a bet. So as I was saying, Kev's choice of Chelsea to beat United did interest me. And I was like, yeah.
You're on
I
that.
I agree with you. 5-6, Chelsea to beat United.
Okay.
That's one of these legs in my treble.
Okay.
Which comes to a grand total of just shading the big shout quota of 25-1.
Love it.
So it's 25.4-1.
Ooh.
Now, to stick with the footballing theme, Leeds are in free fall, as is anticipated, because it's Leeds. And they're playing Bristol City at the weekend at home at Elland Road. I don't think they'll lose, but I think it'll be a draw. 19-5.
Yeah, Leeds in terrible form, but probably not. Yeah, a draw sounds like a good call.
I think they won't lose at home to Bristol City, but Jesus, I'd be afraid if they win, like. And to branch out from football, we're going all the way.
Go on.
To the Genesis Invitational.
Oh Jesus, what sport is that?
It is golf.
Okay.
It is golf. And Mark Farrelly, who's usually presenting this show, is a Hideki Matsuyama fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's mad for Hideki, fair play to him. I have a similar relationship with another golfer by the name of Xander Schauffele. Probably my favourite name to say in the world, ever.
Highly unusual name, highly unusual golfer.
But he gets the job done. And okay. I reckon he will get the job done. Now, I was being very particular with this bet. Could have went win outright. I'm not a bad man.
Yeah.
Could have went top five. I thought, let's relax a bit.
Okay.
Xander Schauffele to finish in the top 10 of Genesis Invitational. 2-1. Okay. So, all in all, 25.4-1. I reckon that's my big show.
That sounds doable to me.
I think only three legs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not PJ Brown with his outlandish three leg bets that nearly come off for him. Fair play to him.
You got Schauffele. He's ninth in the world at the moment. So if he plays to form, and he's playing in Southern California, which is where he grew up. So I think that's all right. I would be worried about that Leeds result, but you know, it's championship.
The championship is championship. I don't know. I always, in my history of golf bets, have always been sort of hit or miss, I'd say. I either get them bang on or they miss the cut completely. And Xander, I'm sorry if you missed the cut, buddy. I hope you make it to the weekend at least.
Leeds second in the table, Bristol seventh as we record this. So I think there might be... and then Bristol won their last four games, I think. They won four of their last five.
So you're saying there's a chance then?
I think there's a real chance.
Well, of course, if you are having a bet, please do bet responsibly and visit dunlewy.net for further information. Donny, it's time to guess the handicaps, I think.
PJ Brown, come on down.
rivalries, they're apparent in every single sport. Yankees Red Sox, Lakers Celtics, Rangers Celtic, Bows Rovers. They're everywhere. I think we have a rivalry that can rival the best of them, if you'll pardon the pun. We've got, on the other side of the desk, two titans of the Guess the Handicaps game. They duked it out last week in an epic that was, I would say, poorly refereed by Mark Farrelly. But
defamatory. But
well, considering I'm in control this week.
You haven't really shown the faith around the office very much.
Exactly. Ever since. I wonder why. But there will be nothing of the sort from me. I rule this game like an iron fist. On the other side of the desk, I have the victor from last week, even though it was nearly taken away from you in poor circumstances.
Mm.
Donnie Mahoney.
The champ is here.
And the challenger, PJ Brown.
I would go as far as calling this a toxic rivalry. Wow. You can feel it around the office. It's affecting everybody.
Yeah, this is Tyrone Armand back in like 2004 or 5, I think. You know, it's ugly.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask beforehand that I'll have no solids thrown at each other. I've no red or yellow or black cards to be dished out. All I have is my voice and these set of headphones I have perched on my head. So let's... I don't want to beat around the bush here.
That's the way it should be.
Exactly.
There's no need for cards.
You can sort it out between yourselves.
Mano a mano.
Right? So we're going to start this off. Now, I also like to state as a prerequisite before this starts that I have no clue what's going on here.
Okay.
I have no clue.
We'll coach you through it.
But all of I don't need that. Okay. All I need is to know that I'm an authoritarian figure and what I say goes. Okay? Is everybody clear?
You're the South Dublin Trump.
I'm off told that, you know? All right, so number one. Donnie, you start as you are the victor.
Cool. So we're predicting the handicaps in this week's GA fixtures. And there's a big round of hurling games this week, plus a few...
There's also a few straggling football matches that are
postponed
going on.
From last week, I believe.
Exactly. Storm Ciara really did kick up a storm.
Mm.
So I've chosen six of them.
Okay.
And you have to guess the handicaps in a sort of pseudo Brucey's bonus kind of way. Higher, lower, but you have to be bang on. If you get bang on the handicap, you win 2 points. If you're the closest, you get a singular point.
It's clear to me. Let's get it on.
Let's go. Right, number one in this week's Guess the Handicaps game. It's Galway Tip. Donnie, what you got
Galway
in this
one? Tip. Very interesting game. We're down in Salt Hill. It's going to be a windy game for Storm Dennis. Be raging, I'd say. Tip, 0-2 after two fixtures, but they've played the two best teams in the league, I think. Well, they've played Cork and they played Limerick. Am I right, PJ? So
yes, they lost to Limerick the first week.
Yeah, so not the start that Tip would have wanted. Tip are all about sort of proving that they're not the sort of one-year wonder as they always seem to be after they win an All-Ireland. Galway have Joe Canning back, I'm told this week.
I believe they do, yeah.
So Tip on the road, great rivalry, never much between the two counties. To me, this sounds like Tip minus one.
Tip minus one. PJ, what are we going for here?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking along the same lines to Donnie, although Galway are at home. Yeah, I'm starting to think Donnie may have got this bang on. They've Tipperary are trying out a lot of younger players this year. I'm kind of wondering how much do they really care about this league campaign. It's all about doing the back-to-back for them this year. Yeah. Because Galway are at home, I'm going to go Galway minus one.
As it is with this game, if you go first, you have a great chance of getting it spot on. And Donnie did get it spot
on.
Boom.
Just like
it's 2-0.
Great start.
That's a great start. But PJ, you've got your first dibs this time. So we're going to go with Wexford Kilkenny.
Ooh.
Wexford Kilkenny.
Replay of last year's Leinster final, which Wexford won. And Wexford, both teams going pretty well, like in the league so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wexford, I should have beaten Clare last week, the weekend before last. They had like at home in a windy Wexford Park, and they're at home again this week.
That's they right. Are indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that. Yeah, I think Wexford are going to be favourites in this. I'm going to say Wexford minus one.
Okay. Okay, Donny.
Well, the way I see it, Kilkenny are the class of the league so far. They've got a point differential of plus 33. So now maybe they've had a kind of soft enough start to the league, you might say. I know they put the hammer down on Carlo. To me, the class of Kilkenny reigns supreme here. This seems like, to me, Kilkenny minus two.
It's Kilkenny minus one. So 1 point there for Donny.
Thank you.
So you're now 3-0 up. Plus now the
Kilkenny
ball.
Kilkenny are favourites in Wexford Park.
Oh yeah.
They're quite interesting. They're top of the league.
They are top of the league, but like Donny said, they've played Dublin, a Dublin team which didn't really give a shit in that first game, and Carlo, who the weakest team in that, well, one of the two weaker teams in that group. That's kind of surprising to me.
Kilkenny just gets a point every week just for the jersey, you know.
Yeah,
the fear they strike and they.
Now I'm more thinking about. I mean, Wexford probably haven't got their full team back yet.
Mm.
Okay, maybe I can kind of understand. A little bit surprised.
It's like the crux of this game seems to be that you either think too much or too little. If you don't think about this at all, you'll ace it.
Listen to your gut. That's what I do.
Exactly, right, Donny. It's back to you.
Okay.
And it's hurling again, but this time it's Carlo Dublin.
Ooh.
Carlo Dublin.
Okay, this is an interesting game between two teams that haven't really lit the league up. Carlo have been abject, minus 37 points difference in their two defeats so far. Dublin didn't give a shit, to quote PJ Brown, against Kilkenny, but then
really didn't.
I believe was it Leash they beat last time out?
Yeah, there was. Well, they had to win that one.
Yeah,
given like how going out to them, like the surprise defeat to them in the championship last year, that was the game. They were up for it. They were probably thinking about that game while they were playing Kilkenny.
Yeah. So they got their revenge, and now they got Carlo. They're thinking there's harder games to come. I think the bookies are thinking Carlo are pretty bad. Dublin are reliable. So to me, this sounds like Dublin minus four.
Dublin minus four. Okay, PJ, what are we saying here?
I feel like Donny might have got this one bang on again. So I probably just have to go a little bit larger and say Dublin minus five.
Going larger has served you well. Now, it's not bang on. It's actually Dublin minus nine.
Whoa, what? No respect for Carlo.
They've got no respect for Carlo.
What?
I know, yeah. It's quite astonishing, but yeah, Dublin minus nine.
Okay. So that's a lot of points.
To me, that's way too big.
Yeah, I mean, this is Dublin we're talking about.
Yeah, I would not trust my money with that Dublin team minus nine.
And like a wintry day where like the points could just be low, I would be scared of that.
Dr. Netwatch Cullen Park.
Oh, look, it's a different experience down there at the Netwatch.
PJ.
Back in it.
You've got your first point on the board. Now we're switching. We're switching codes.
Okay.
Going over to football. We're going to get one of the straggling football fixtures up.
Mm.
It's Louth and Offaly.
Oh. Louth, one of the few teams not to win a point in the Football League this year. I think there's a few of them. Louth and Offaly. God, it's a hard one to. I feel like Offaly are going to be favourites here.
Two of the three worst teams in Division 3.
Right.
But Offaly do have a point. They have a singular point.
That's right.
I'm going to lean towards Offaly here. I'm going to say Offaly with the John Mann factor. Going to say Offaly minus one. I know they are missing that young lad, Kian Farrell. He was a really good footballer. He was playing for Carlo IT. He stepped on a piece of glass, possibly during the Sigurdsson celebrations, and severed a tendon in his foot.
Oh, no.
He's out for 2 or 3 months. He's a really good footballer. That, like, they haven't had him in so far this year, but he's going to be a big loss for them. Give me Offaly minus one.
Yeah, I would be thinking around there. I can't give Louth the advantage here, so I'll just go off with the minus two.
Louth minus one.
Whoa!
I don't understand. I like
home team.
Yeah,
I think it's purely home advantage, and you have two of the three worst teams in Division 3 going at it. I think that might have been the rationale. But either way, PJ.
I get it on the, well, the same way Donny got that point last year, kind of the same way.
I'll give it to you.
I'm on the wrong side of
a
it.
Point's a point,
we were both on the wrong side of that one there, yeah?
Yeah. You just know you've got an advantage here.
Slightly less wrong, and I get the victory.
So that's the beauty of Guess the Handicaps.
Yeah. So what is it, 3-2 after four?
Yes, yeah. And it swings back to Donny. And we're going back to hurling.
Great.
We're going for a bit of Limerick Waterford.
Ooh, good game. So we got Limerick, we got the two undefeated teams in Division 1A.
Duking it out.
Limerick with a point to prove this year. Waterford refreshed with their new manager.
Liam Cal,
the Tipperary man.
Won the under-20 All-Ireland last year. He looks like a really good manager.
Yeah.
I think like if Liam Sheedy hadn't been there
exactly
in situ in Tipperary, I think he probably would have got the tip job.
This is going to be on TV Saturday evening, I think. Both teams, two wins from two. Both teams on plus 10 point differential. Both teams doing the job. I think it'd be a good game. I think the bookies will see this around Limerick minus 2.
PJ, what have you got to say to that? What's your retort?
What's the game again?
It's Limerick Waterford. So concentrated.
The focus.
It just slipped my mind, the second team there. I was like, Limerick. What the hell is the second team in this? Limerick were really good against Galway last time out. Galway were not good. Limerick hit 13 wides in that game against Galway and still came out with a win. You said Limerick minus 2?
Minus 2, I said.
I think this might be more. A lot of Waterford, like a really young Waterford team. It's kind of good to see them doing so well.
Great. Hurling needs a good Waterford team.
Yeah, definitely does. The depth of this Limerick team is incredible. I think I saw that in the first two games, they had used 32 players.
Jeez.
There's no other team that has that kind of depth, even like Tipperary.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel like minus 2 is about. Again, I every time I feel like Donny's gotten this pretty much right here. I'm going to say Limerick minus 3.
It is now 3-3.
Ooh.
It is Limerick minus 4.
Oh.
Okay.
Limerick minus 4. That's the great thing about Guess the Handicaps. You can play it safe. Even if you're afraid that somebody's got a bang on, if you just go one way or the other, it could swing it in your favour. Yeah. That means now this final fixture is the de facto tiebreaker. I'd organise the tiebreaker anyway.
We don't need it.
But we don't need it. 3-3 going into the last fixture. And this one, Clare versus Laois.
Ooh.
This will be one for the handicap.
What
makers
do we reckon now? PJ, you're going first for this one now.
Clare 2 wins from 2 so far in the league. That victory against Wexford was huge for them last time out. Not just because of the Davy and Brian Lohan rivalry, but like the nature of it as well. Going to like Wexford Park, which I thought was a really tough place to go. Clare and Laois. Clear favourites here. I'm going to say Clare minus 6.
Clare minus 6. Donny, what are we saying?
One number came into my head.
Immediately
when you read the fixture out.
And what was it?
Clare minus 7.
Clare minus 7. Now, that's the thing about Guess the Handicaps. Do you go with that? PJ's gone with minus 6.
Great drama in the room.
I'm building the tension here, Sean. And I'm immediately regretting not going higher.
After the first round, it was 2-0 Donny. Second round, 3-0. Then PJ brought all the way back for this final round. Duke him. He went minus 6. Donny went minus 7. Donny Mahoney wins.
Boom.
Oh.
Clare minus 10.
Wow.
It's a big one.
Jeez, no respect.
And Donny, on the final round once again, arises victorious.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. It's tough going.
Yeah, as soon as you started building the tension there, Sean, I was like, I'm screwed here. Like, I have not gone high enough. I haven't thought this through enough.
There we go.
Well,
listen, You'll be back once again to challenge this, because this, again, this is now the rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, like,
in guess the handicaps.
Like, I have to be magnanimous here and ask, is it rivalry anymore? I don't know. I have to rethink about who I am and my whole guess the handicap philosophy. And
talk to a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
Look, we might next week. You might be back in the big chair, but don't rush back.
Exactly. You've got to get yourself right first before then going at the big dog over here.
Mm.
The lineal champ. The champ now.
That's it. But look, we know the fans love this rivalry and they'll be calling for more.
They'll be banging for it. It's like Daniel Cormier and John Jones. Like, this is what yous are now.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got the yips now around Donny. Like, I won't be able to make a cup of tea or properly around Donny. You know, like, I feel like I can't do anything right anymore.
Well, PJ, appreciate the challenge. Might see you soon.
Oh, God, that hurt. That really hurt.
It's still dangerous for Dublin pedestrians.
This is our charity bet. Last week, we did arise victorious. So now, we're looking healthier than we did, Donny. We're looking healthier than what we did.
We're in the black.
We're in, as they say in the industry, the money. But we got two new sort of matches to choose from this week. You know, we're on 21-25.
Not
this
bad.
Week, Donny, I'm going to call out two matches. What one do you fancy? Okay?
Go on.
So one, we've got Liverpool to beat Norwich. That's 3-10.
Okay. What's number two?
Kilkenny to beat Wexford.
Ooh.
10-11. What are we saying?
I'm getting behind Kilkenny.
You reckon so?
I like it. I just think it's a great rivalry, border county friends, the old southeast derby, and I think Kilkenny are going to do a job here.
So you reckon that's our safety bet? You reckon that they're going to do that?
Look, it's going to be a very close game, but I do think Kilkenny are going to come through.
You fancy Kilkenny? I, in the issue of sort of going against you for no apparent reason other than I think it's my duty to.
Okay.
And also, you know, not having a great knowledge of hurling, I'm going to go with Liverpool to beat Norwich. I think that's just a safe L bet. We're trying to get this. We're trying to ratchet it up. We're trying to get up there. We're just trying to reach our peak here. So that's what I'm going to go with. But either way, you the people decide. Get on to pauls.ie, do the poll, and find out what our charity bet is going to be. Will it be Donny's show of Kilkenny to beat Wexford, or will it be my show?
Mm.
De facto show of Liverpool to beat Norwich. And of course, if you are having a bet this weekend or any other day, get on to dunlewy.net for all information. Next up, it's time to it's my time of the show, Donny. It's time to get hyped for the League of Ireland season.
Booyah. So when you see Trey, a DJ on the mic, ask what it's like we're getting hyped tonight. Cause if a strike, it ain't. Alright, it's time to get hyped, and we're getting hyped about the League of Ireland season, which is back this Friday night football. Sean, like, here we are in like the depths of February. Things couldn't be less exciting in terms of just launching a sports season. And out of the darkness, out of the fog, out of the ice storm comes the League of Ireland, the Irish football kind of submerged in crisis and on the verge of sort of extinction. And here comes the lads, here comes the Bows and the Shells. And your boys in St. Pat's here to sort of make us optimistic and make us love Irish football again.
The great thing about this is that with the FAI and Irish football plunged into a crisis, what better way to be taken out of the abyss than by a league that's perpetually in crisis?
Yeah,
you know?
These guys know what crisis is all about. You want crisis?
Yous know nothing about crisis. I'm sitting here. I'm rubbing my hands together as like I'm the Birdman meme. This is my weekend. This is my opening weekend. Valentine's Day. I think every significant other has been cast aside, unfortunately, on Friday night, just because your one true love is back.
And can you trick yourself into thinking that the football is going to be good this season?
I think you can, definitely, because you haven't seen any of it yet.
Yeah, you've had 4 months away from it.
I'd say give it until Monday.
Okay.
When you see all the highlights on Soccer Republic, and then you'll go, ah, oh, Jesus.
Okay.
But there are things to get excited about, you know. you look at the end of last season, you look at the excitement of the FA Cup final and what happened. Great you know, game. You've got players like Michael Duffy playing for Dundalk. You've got Jack Byrne, Ireland international Jack Byrne.
The Weasel.
Who's probably going to be in the Ireland squad again. You know, the Absolutely. Weasel. We love the Weasel here. We love the Weasel.
And you're speaking as a Pats fan. You're saying you love the Weasel.
He's a brilliant footballer. Now, is he not my cup of tea because he plays for a certain somebody out in Talla? Potentially. Yeah. But, you know, on this podcast, I'm you know, impartial.
Game recognises game.
Big facts. Big facts. That's all I can say. But you look to him, you look at Danny Mandrew at Bowes. Guy Forrester is going to have a big season this year for Pats.
Mm.
Guy, you know, he wasn't himself last season, but towards the end of it, you could see exactly why he's one of the best players in the league. Coupled with that, he's got a new partner in crime in the midfield by the name of Robbie Benson.
Okay.
Pats haven't had a player like Robbie Benson since Johnny Russell, you know? And I still wish Johnny Russell came, but I think he's about 40 now. I still wish he played for Pats.
Tell me who... Dundalk have dominated the league now for a long time.
Yeah, since 2014, they rule the roost.
If I was making a bet on somebody who's going to sort of disrupt that monopoly, that stranglehold they have on the league, who would you be looking at as a sort of League of Ireland aficionado?
I think the only team that can touch them this season is Shamrock Rovers. Okay. I think the only team that can come close, and people were saying that when Rovers ran into kind of 13-point lead at the start of last season, even though Dundalk had games in hand, that it was over. Mm. Certain commentators were saying that was over, which was blatantly false. Dundalk sort of won the league at a canter last season, but with Rovers and the way that they've recruited, obviously bringing in the likes of Liam Scales at the back, they've automatically improved. I think with him and Lee Grace together at the back, that's the best centre-half pairing that the league has. And Dundalk have, you know, an Ireland international in Andy Boyle on their bench.
Yeah.
That's how deep they go in defence. But I think Rovers are definitely the only team that can disrupt Dundalk. Obviously, Bowes had a great season last season, but I think they're just not at that level.
Yeah.
Derry had a great, like, Derry came out of nowhere to get a European spot last season. Again, they're missing their two sort of talismanic players in Junior and David Parkhouse, who haven't come back. So you've got that, and you've got Pats, who were like sort of way off the pace. They were supposed to be that team to be the challenge for the top two. Obviously, now they have a different manager in Stephen O'Donnell. I think they probably will be a bit better and sort of challenge Bowes and Derry for those two European spots. But I don't think they're going to touch the top two. All of the other teams will probably be more concerned with what's going on behind them than what's in front of them. Like, if you look at Rovers odds, they're 6-5 to win the league, which I think is... Like, that's mad. There's
not much value there.
There's not at all. Like, and Dundalk are evens.
Yeah. So they're saying they're more or less neck and neck, but from what you're saying, Dundalk are...
I think they have to be placed on the pedestal of being the best.
Yeah.
Because they are the best. They've won 5 of the last 6 or whatever. Like, just mad numbers. You know, they've been the best. They've been there. They've done it. Rovers, they've gotten over the hump because they've won that FAI Cup, and they haven't won it in 32 years.
Yep.
They have that silverware. They know what silverware tastes like, and now they want to go and win the league. The league is the big one. The league is their bread and butter. Obviously, they were supposed to play the President's Cup at the weekend. They couldn't due to the stormy weather. That would have been the perfect kind of litmus test to see, all right, where are Dundalk, where are Rovers? Because Dundalk have brought in a few new bodies as well, bringing in the likes of Cammy Smith from Scotland. And they're looking further afield, obviously. They're trying to get international clearance for a lad from Serbia to come in from Novi Sad. But even at that, it's like you don't know because you haven't seen these players and you can't really make assumptions. But you know from watching Michael Duffy, you know, Patrick McElhenney, they've lost Jamie McGrath. Mm. But they've kept Patrick Hoban. They've signed him to that new contract. And there was talk that he was going to go to Rovers because he wasn't going to get the money that he thought from Dundalk. So I think it's definitely those two. I think you can't look to any other teams to go and get them in. But at the bottom of the table is where I think there's a bit more of an interest.
So this year promoted, we've got Shelburne back in with the big boys. So this is for Dublin fans, people based in Dublin.
Shelburne being back, I think, is an interesting kind of development. We've also got Finn Harps is promoted as well.
Finn Harps remained up. They won their playoff. Shells being back means that there's the de facto big four back in the Premier Division. Obviously, Bows and Pats never know what it's like to drop down from the Premier Division, but I won't say anything more on that. But Shells are back. Their first season back since 2013, and they have a renewed, like, sort of rejuvenation. They're obviously planning on going into Daly Mount Park with Bows, which kind of has split their fan base a bit, but with the new directorship of David O'Connor as CEO, they've sort of, everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet. They've signed the likes of Gary Deegan's come back, obviously a former Shells player, knows what it's like to be at Shells at their height, came into that team obviously just after they got relegated, but was around in 2006 when they won the league. He's come back. Carl Shepherd has signed from Cork. You know, that's League of Ireland experience. Obviously, they still have Kieran Kilduff. They've lost Conan Byrne, but that's the kind of invaluable experience that you need. I don't think Shells are going to be in trouble of relegation. And, like, looking at the odds here on Ladbrokes, they're 13-2 to finish bottom.
Right.
Which I don't think. I think that should be higher. I don't think that they should be, like, they're, you know, second favourite to finish bottom.
Yeah.
Like, Finn Harps are obvious, like, they're the ones that people would be worried about. But I think Finn Harps, they know what it's like to be in the Premier. They've been in.
They survived, yeah.
They survived last season through the playoff. They were desperately close a couple of seasons ago. But by virtue of going from 12 teams down to 3, it meant that they got relegated. They have that now. Raf Cataro's come back. He was supposed to retire, but he's after coming back. You've got the likes of Dave Webster is playing out for them now. They're losing Mark Timlin. He's got an ACL injury. He'll be out for the whole season, which is a shame, because on his day, he has a spark that can sort of, you know, just generate whatever for them. He can generate a bit of attack and verve. I think that they are rightfully, they're down at 4-7. They're definitely favourites for relegation, but I'd be looking at the likes of Cork. I think
Cork only a few seasons removed from
winning the league.
Yeah, exactly.
By thanks to Seanie McGuire.
Yeah.
You know, they nearly lost the league when he left for Preston. Yeah. So since then, it's been a bit.
John Caulfield left last season, I believe, right?
Yeah. And there was a bit of sort of upheaval with, they brought in John Caulfield's assistant on a permanent basis, and then almost immediately got rid of him to bring in Neil Fenn from Longford. And that was a bit of an acrimonious split between Fenn and Longford Town. They're taken over by Darragh Doyle. So I've looked at their sort of, obviously they've lost Carl Shepherd, and I think they were right to get rid of Carl Shepherd, and even the likes of maybe Shane Griffin, who were just kind of, they were there, but they weren't going to give them the impetus that they needed to try go further up the table. They had a poor season last season, very poor. And I think they've felt that ever since they lost even Kieran Sadlier.
Yeah.
That they haven't had that kind of impetus that they needed. I don't think they'll finish bottom, but I think they'll be closer to the relegation zone than they will be to the European spots. I think there's also that concern with Waterford, but once Lee Power kind of solidified his position as chairman again, and that there wasn't that worry about money that there might have been beforehand, signing the likes of Tyreek Wilson should give them a basis to be better than last season. I don't think they'll challenge for Europe again, but they'll be better. Sligo, I think they'll just bed in there.
Mid-table.
Liam Buckley will get them playing nice football, but I don't think they'll pull up too many trees. That being said, like, it's very condensed. I think it is the top two and then everybody else.
Okay.
And everybody else can beat everybody else.
So you're saying Cork 7-1, sort of an outside chance at going at relegation, good value there.
If you wanted to have a punt on it, I reckon Cork would be your best bet. I don't think there's any point in going towards Shells or Finn Harps. I would say there's no value in you know, who's going to win the league. I think the odds for Dundalk and Rovers are kind of, they're pretty much one and the same, and there's no real point of going for them. I would say, listen, my bets would be, if you're going to do anything, Cork 7-1. Just try it out and see. But even I wouldn't even recommend it. I don't think there's any real value in the league. The only value in the league is just sheer entertainment.
Yeah, fair
enough. That's what we go for.
Tell me this as a Pats fan at the sort of beginning of the season. What's the darkest points of winter? What are the sort of away fixtures that get you most excited?
Shells away.
Okay.
Like because we've missed them for so long, Shells away is the one that I look to anyway. I think definitely sort of people who were, you know, around for Pats and Shells duking it out for league titles in the late 90s and the early 2000s, they'll say the same thing. That rivalry is huge, and now that that's coming back, that sort of breeds a bit of life into Pats fans, or at least I'd hope so. Definitely that one, absolutely. I haven't looked to see if we have Sligo on a summer's day.
Yeah.
But if we do, the train out to Sligo, there's nothing better in the league. But they're my two. I won't be looking forward to them when we've gone 0-10 and we're down the bottom of the league.
Yep.
But I have optimism. Slowly.
I'm hyped now for the League of Ireland season.
Listen, did you feel my impassioned pleas there?
It's great knowledge.
Get out, support your local football team. Exactly. There's nothing better.
Support Irish football. Support crisis football.
I tell you what, if you're looking for a good crisis, you could do worse than going down to your local League of Ireland ground on a Friday night.
And visit dunluigh.net. They're the leading provider of information, advice, support, and free counselling for anybody with issues with gambling addiction. Sean, that's a wrap for
us
this week. Yeah,
that's us.
I presume we'll be back in tow next week leading the charge. There might be a new government and maybe...
I think we might just have two completely new presenters that the public have never heard before, really. Okay. Just to really spice it up.
Well, enjoy your League of Ireland weekend. It's great that there's not really much else going on in sport this weekend, so we can all focus, all of the whole country can sit around their TV and get out to the local football ground and support Irish football.
Get out on the Friday, on Saturday. The big one is there. It's Rovers against Bowes. It's on the telly, 2:00. Can you believe it?
It's going to be fun. Fibsborough's going to be wild.
It's a good thing it's on a Saturday, not a Friday.
Jeez. Okay, well, looking forward to it. We'll chat to you all next week. Thanks for your time, and we'll, as Mark would say, mind yourselves.